Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
The Unholy Trinity Podcast. Three blues, three opinions, one Everton podcast.
Welcome to episode 213 of the Unholy Trinity Podcast, brought to you in association with Sports Social, Europe's biggest sports podcast network, and also Fanatics. Just me and Pete to take you through this this weekend's podcast. Lee's currently sunning himself on a golf course in Turkey, trying to qualify for the upcoming Masters as a caddy, of course. You know, he's saying he will be playing that course, but he'll be back next weekend anyway. But me and Pete, a bit unusual for us to do an international break record almost. We did a good episode last week with a couple of authors, Lyndon, obviously, from the Toffee Web podcast, and also Steve Dickinson in regards to their book. And then me and Peter thought why not jump on and do a little preview of Bournemouth. But also, obviously, you know, these international weeks now seem to be full of activity for Everton, don't they? You know, it's part of the course with Everton at this moment in time. Something always comes out. Something always happens. And the last week has been no different. Obviously, the news which has impacted us has been the result of Nottingham Forest's financial fair play, profits and sustainability regulations charge. They had their hearing. They've been docked 4 points, obviously, a lot less than Everton were docked. We were given the initial 10, don't forget. And Pete, what's your reaction to that? Because mine was one of utter shock.
Same, Mike. I think it was, you know, one, make it make sense. And two, I mean, I try not to be like this because it kind of, I worry it fits the Evertonian stereotype, but the world doesn't help you. Like, make it make sense. I mean, I joked, in between podcasts, hadn't I, about, you know, let's wait for Forest to get a suspended points deduction or transfer embargo or, two or three. And then, you know, essentially, it's more or less what's happened. I mean, don't forget this points deduction that they've been given. This is the provisional figure before appeal. So Forest are going to be right onto this to try and get it quashed or get it down even further. So you can't even take it at face value, but it just mirrors all the stuff we spoke about on previous pods about, you know, the lack of transparency, particularly from the Premier League, you know, just come out and say, these are the rules. This is how they've been applied. This is the points deduction. Because what's happened is, you know, fans have had to rake over the ins and outs of the so-called rules to try and fathom why, you know, such a wildly different figure has come out for Forest versus us when, you know, the cash figure that they've exceeded the so-called regulations is bigger than ours. It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense at all. And I think, you know, a lot of Evertonians are just really sick of this now. And again, I'm probably not particularly surprised. So it's a really, really strange one. And it risks ruining the season. I mean, can't be too catastrophic about it at this stage, but I think we all know what the implications of this could be going into the next few weeks.
Yeah, I think obviously when I heard the news and we heard it was 4 points, you were waiting then to see what was the actual breach in terms of figure, because obviously we knew ours was 19.5, whether we argued that or not, that was what in the end it came out. That was £19.5 million. Forest is almost double ours. It's almost double. And to be fair, ours was over a four-year period because of obviously COVID having 2 years combined. Forest effectively, because they were okay for the two previous years, was for that first season of 22-23 in the Premier League when they came back up. And we all saw what happened, didn't we? So when they came back up, they signed about 40 players, you know, some players for a lot of money. And they massively gambled. And you can see, so when we talk about sporting advantage, and okay, they said that Everton gained a sporting advantage, but how do you quantify a sporting advantage? You know, it's impossible, really. But Forest spent that money and breached because of player transfers. It was as simple as that. So when you look at that and you think, well, that was obvious. That was in the public domain. We all saw it opening before our eyes. And we all said at the time, there's no way that they cannot breach some kind of regulation by what they're spending, because the money just wasn't there in terms of what they were bringing in and things like that. So that was the big thing for me, is one, it's almost double ours because their loss was £34.5 million. Two, it was basically for 1 year out of the three, which is where they've done all the damage and he's just gone, sod it. If we want to stay in the Premier League, we've got to go and buy 40 players and who cares about the regulations. But also the big point, Pete, which I think leaves a sour taste in our mouths, is the whole Brennan Johnson situation. So they were offered a certain price by Brentford before the June the 30th deadline. They said no, because it wasn't the price that they wanted for him. And they sell him later on at the back end of the transfer window to Spurs for a higher price. Now, we know ourselves, this mirrors the situation in terms of Everton had to sell Richarlison. Everton had to sell Richarlison by the end of June, and we did that. We argued as part of our mitigation, we got a lower price for Richarlison because of the situation we found ourselves in. That was battered away. And now I know the panel ignored what Forrest said about Brennan Johnson as well. But when you combine that, you combine the amount that they breached by and the fact that basically it was all on players, you then sit there and think, well, how on earth can we come out, let's get it right, with 10 points, not six, 10 points. We only got four back because of legal errors that were made in the first hearing. So basically it was six, wasn't it? If we ignore the legal errors, it was six. And they've got four and two for good behaviour. And the whole thing just doesn't sit right with me at all. And I think that when you do compare the two cases, there's a clear argument that their breach is much worse than ours. But they've got a much more favourable punishment. And like you say, appeal pending. Now, will they appeal? That's the big question.
I mean, you'd surely think they would. I mean, if you're in Forest's position, why wouldn't you? You'd be looking at Everton saying, well, look, Everton had the right to appeal. And, you know, also a precedent's been set given that, you know, Everton appealed, put forward this particular argument and got a points reduction to the initial figure given. So, you know, surely they're going to appeal. Surely. I mean, you think, why wouldn't they? You know, what have they got to lose? They've got the right to appeal, haven't they, as part of the process?
Yeah, of course they have. But I think a lot of the talk is that there's almost been a sort of under-the-table deal that, well, if we give you this punishment, so 6 points with two taken off for cooperating and it being a quick and efficient process, which suited the Premier League, of course, because they're rushing everything through. I think it's almost seen that, well, Forest feel that, well, if you do go and appeal, it might not go in their favour. So if you look at their statement that they issued when they got the punishments, it was a strongly worded statement, obviously disappointed and weren't happy with the language used by the Premier League, etc., etc. But no sign of, well, we're going to appeal. So I think they have a week, don't they, from when they first get notification of the punishment, they have a week then to go, well, we're going to appeal, yes or no. So it wouldn't surprise me if they didn't, because the punishment is so low. And you sort of think, you know, and the feeling is, if they do chance their arm, what's stopping the appeals panel going, well, do you know what? I think that's being too lenient. If we do make comparisons to Everton, and Everton were battered with a 10-point deduction, then how can you get four? It doesn't make any kind of sense. And like you say, Peter, you said at the start, because there's no framework in terms of punishment, you know, we've now seen our first hearing. We've had an appeal panel deal with our first hearing. And then we've had Forrest hearing. And every single one of those appeal panels comes to different conclusions. And that's incredible. Now, and the worst thing for me is the final panel, which is Forrest's panel, have got the history of what's happened to Everton. And they can refer back to that. And they were, you know, they were quite happy to mention Everton, I think 80-odd times in the Forrest report. But when it comes to actually working the punishments out, it makes no sense. They even said, I think that, I don't know where the Everton panel got the extra 3 points from in terms of us getting six, if you like. So it's so, if you look at what comes of these things, no lessons are being learned is what I would say from you know, historical events, recent historical events in terms of our hearings. There's no kind of correlation between the punishments that are coming out. The fact there's no framework obviously kills the whole thing anyway. But then you think then, well, what does it mean for us? Because obviously we've got our second hearing starting. So obviously it's Sunday morning now, where it starts tomorrow. So I think it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of the coming week. And what comes of that? You know, we don't know what our loss is yet. I think we had to lose, I think it was north of about £38-39 million to actually breach PSR again. So obviously we must have done that for one reason or another. So the question is now, what happens to us? And you can't take anything from it, can you, Pete? You can't even look at what's happened across the three cases and go, well, do you know what? Here is the starting point, because the starting point's not there anymore. You know, mitigation for us is where you've dealt with two-thirds of our punishments already in two-thirds of those years. So we, certainly, you know, if you're saying, oh, it's got to be 6 points, well, it can't be 6 points because, you know, two of those years, have been dealt with. So going into that tomorrow, Peter, what's your thoughts on that? What's your feelings going into the hearing this week?
Well, I think you've just hit the nail on the head, Mike. You can't read anything into it because the process isn't lawful. You know, regardless of previous recent examples of, you know, the so-called, you know, profit and sustainability criteria being applied, it's nonsensical. So you go into the next couple of weeks thinking, well, what are they going to come back with? You know, I guess we've named it before on the pod, but we've got this whole double jeopardy thing, haven't we? That we're being scrutinized again for so-called breaches that were part of the initial points penalty. And it, you know, I've joked outside of the podcast, if there was a Netflix series called Everton Football Club that was fictional, no one would watch it because they'd say it's too unbelievable because it's that ridiculous. The process is changing as well next season, which I think potentially could add even further insult to injury. We don't know the full extent of those changes, but you know, there are a number of other football clubs, aren't they, that I think are looking over their shoulders, you know, the likes of, you know, Aston Villa in particular, Newcastle have been thrown into that group, not even including Man City and Chelsea, because, you know, we all know that they'll get away with the most leniency or, no deduction or implications whatsoever. But it just feels like an incredibly uncertain time because you've got no confidence at all in the process or the Premier League, to be fair. I think that's the operative word in this, that there's such a discrepancy between what's being applied to Forrest and what's being applied to us. And we shouldn't even be having this second so-called hearing. So if they come back with any form of further points deductions, I just think it would be completely unbelievable. But, you know, I suspend my doubt. Again, I wouldn't be surprised if they come back with a further deduction. I really wouldn't.
No, I don't think anyone would. And that's totally understandable because, like you're saying, like we've pointed out, there's so many discrepancies between each and every hearing that you just don't know which way they're going to go. I mean, are they going to treat us with a bit of contempt because you've preached twice in 2 years, effectively? But, you know, again, to get two punishments in the one season is absolutely unheard of. And that's all because the Premier League are trying to rush these punishments through before they then change the regulations next season. So it leaves a massively bad taste in our mouths. And, you know, you look at the table now, Forrest have obviously dropped into the bottom three, sitting 18th. We're 4 points clear. We've now got a game in hand. So on them and on Luton in particular, we've got a game in hand now. So the ball's very much in our court, but then we think, well, at the back of our minds, the chances are there's a second point deduction coming. So, you know, do they go to four so it does become 10 you know, after, you know, after what's happened in terms of us getting 4 points back? Did he just give us two? Did he suspend it? You just don't know. You just cannot get any kind of read at all from what's gone on. And, you know, the thing that very, very much, you know, the case for us now is you've got to start winning football matches, because you won't get any kind of favours off the pitch. And, you know, the players and the manager can't control what happens in these hearings. You know, if you look at the treatment we've had already, they could go down a harsh route. You would think that, again, if common sense prevails, that they wouldn't want to go above 8 points, because obviously 9 points is what you get for administration. So surely in one season, they wouldn't want to go and give us more than eight. But they gave us 10 to start with. So again, you just can't get a read off that. But, you know, as I say, what we need to start doing is winning football matches. And obviously, we're currently in the international break with a game coming up this week for all of our players who have gone off with their international teams. But we are back in action against Bournemouth next Saturday, obviously away from home. And Everton have got to start winning games, like I said, Pete. And we never seem to do particularly well at Bournemouth. We always seem to struggle going down there. We've thrown away, obviously, a couple of leads over the years, haven't we, as well? And it's one of those, they're one of those sides who haven't been in great form, but then did us a real favour, obviously, with the game against Luton, the game that was rescheduled after the first game. Obviously, Tom Lockyer was when he collapsed, so that game was abandoned, and they played it again the other week. And, you know, a game where Luton was 3-0 up at half time, absolutely coasting, and you feared the worst. But Bournemouth show what they can do, and they've got players to hurt you, you know. And we always say it on this show in terms of, when sides have got players with a bit of pace on the counter attack, and Bournemouth have got that, and they can certainly hurt Everton. But you know, given our current form, no win since obviously the middle of December, which was against Burnley recently, haven't been fantastic. Of course, lost the lead to Brighton stoppage time over the last few weeks or so. Lost the home to West Ham. It's been a bit of a struggle, of course, but. Do you have much hope going into that game?
I think you've got to, like you say, Mike. I think the hope is that you know the warm weather training camp that we've had in Portugal is a chance, I think, for the team maybe to regroup a bit and hopefully try and recreate some of that. Whether we call it team spirit, whether we call it psychology, whatever it is that we had around December, where I think the players were operating under some, you know, unbelievably difficult and incredibly unique circumstances, but we're putting in, you know, fantastic performances every week. And we were talking on the podcast about, you know, maybe this being the kind of template and expectation for Everton, that Dyche should seem to find his team, that you knew what you were getting each week, that even when results weren't quite going our way, you were coming away from the match, you know, feeling proud and pleased with a lot of the things that you'd seen. And I think that's really started to tail off. We've got a little bit sloppy. We've made some uncharacteristic defensive errors in some games, haven't we? You know, you look at the likes of Brighton, for example, that must have been a really difficult thing to take for the players. You know, the way that we kind of capitulated at United and through the game. Things that I think for the Sean Dyche side that we started to see and expect, just we're not maybe used to seeing, and we're kind of soft signs of things starting to go a little bit wrong, really. But Bournemouth has been a terrible place for Everton over the years. And I think the 4-3 they got at Luton, whilst that's absolutely fantastic for us, I turned that game off at half-time and then rechecked the score and thought, what have I missed here? But it's a great example of the type of thing that can happen at Bournemouth. And I think Everton have found themselves in those types of games so many times. There's something about them at the vitality. You cannot write them off. You just cannot settle. I think if Everton found themselves with a 3-0 lead against Bournemouth away, I'd still be feeling nervous until the final whistle went. So I think it's got the potential to be a very, very difficult game. But as usual, I do think it's a case of what Everton turns up.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Well, of course, 100%. You know, we've seen the best and the worst of Everton, even since our last win. We've had some decent performances, but we've had some really poor ones as well. And, you know, we go back to our previous game against Manchester United, where, okay, bags full of attempts on goal, but nothing particularly clear. Of course, a couple of decent chances, and that's where our problem currently lies. And on a tight pitch at the Vitality, you ain't going to get much time on the ball either. So it's going to be intriguing to see how the manager sets up. Obviously, it's important to look at what players come back from international duty. Okay, you had Seamus Coleman play the full 90 for Ireland against Belgium, captain the side. Obviously, I mean, Jordan Pickford, Branthwaite, we're yet to see whether he gets the nod against Belgium in midweek for England. Also seeing Youssef Chimiti, his first goal for the Portuguese under 21 side, which was fantastic to see. But the home form, usually, you know, you think of Bournemouth and we say how difficult it is to go there. They've not won a home since Boxing Day in the league. So, you know, it's not probably as difficult as it has been in previous seasons. As I say, before that win against Luton, they weren't in great form. Better than us, but that's not difficult, to be honest. But it's the players that they've got, you know, that you look at those attacking players. Obviously, Solanke's had a fantastic season for them, scoring goals. You've got that Uwatsa, who we were linked to quite heavily. Sinister is another one. And obviously, the game against Luton, the kid Semenyo that he got was from Bristol City for about £10 million. You know, he scored a couple of goals and he looked to be a real talent as well. So players who are cutting in from the wing onto the strong foot, they're gonna cause a few issues for us, I think, in terms of our fullbacks. And we've got to be at the races. It's as simple as that. You know, it's got to be the Everton that we've seen, you know, when we went on a good run over November, December. It's got to get them back to those ways. Like I said on the podcast, I think post Manchester United, I don't mind. Everton can play terrible football. Doesn't bother me in the slightest if we're winning games. If it's effective, I don't care, because we've got to get points to stay in the Premier League. As I say, we get no favours from the hearing, as far as I'm concerned. Obviously, chance of appeal, so let's see what comes of it. But then the appeal then will be heard, was it before the end of the season? But then the results will come after, which is just a farcical situation anyway. So let's see what happens. If it's suspended, if it's no points, there's no case to answer. If it's a point, I think Everton will just leave it alone. I don't even think we'll even go down the road of appeal, to be honest with you. But we've got to start winning games with football. You know, it's all these, the hard luck stories have got to stop. We know it's difficult. We know that the players and the manager have gone through it this season, of course, and we continue to go through it. But all we can do, I mean, Sean Dyche is a fan of it. He always says, all you can do is, or you can't control the uncontrollables, so to speak. So that's outside of their control. What you can do is go on the pitch and try and win a game and set up correctly. The players leave it all out there. Basic stuff, you know. We've seen that they can do it against better sides than Bournemouth. But losing is a habit as much as winning is a habit. So when you get stuck in a rut and when you haven't won a game of football for 3 months, you know, but longer now, it's hard to then get back into that habit of winning. So we need some kind of luck. Something needs to go our way. And hopefully we can come away with some kind of positive results against a side who are now, you know, they've got no issues, Bournemouth now, as far as I'm concerned. You know, they're not going to go down. 35 points, sitting in 13th, they're going to be absolutely fine. So they've got no concerns of their own. They'll be playing nice, relaxed football, which, you know, if we didn't have a points deduction, maybe we would be as well. But all ifs and buts, we've got to do something to try and win games, because 10 games to go, We've got 5 home games, 5 away games off the top of my head. We've got 3 home games in a week, as we found out yesterday, which is going to be a pivotal week in terms of obviously our Premier League status, including the Merseyside derby as well. So there's not much football to be played, but there's a lot of points up for grabs and a lot of chances for Everton to get ourselves up the table and take this second heat and this second charge out of the equation.
Definitely, Mike, but I think, again, it goes back to what Everton are going to come back from this break. You know, we know what we've seen, don't we? I think we've seen an Everton that are incredibly psychologically resilient, organised, you know, stay in games until late, you know, can be clinical on the counter-attack. And then I think we've seen an Everton start to creep in that have been sloppy defensively, you know, haven't been able to take chances. And I think it could be as simple as the rest of our season resting on what Everton were able to be in those remaining games.
I think you're right. And as I say, there isn't many games to get it right. Hopefully, we do start to pick up points and we do start to climb the table because, as I say, no favours from outside of the football club. It's as simple as that. But no better place to start than getting and away you win at Bournemouth, that's for sure. But Pete, give us your prediction before we sign off then. What are you thinking?
Sorry, Mike, I'm going to go 1-1.
Don't apologise. Listen, don't apologise. I think that's a bit of a common sense approach. I think I'll join you. I think, you know, I just at the moment, you know, wins are hard to see, aren't they? Whether we're home or away, it doesn't matter who we're playing. Obviously, we've got other chances down the road, but It is a difficult place to go and a place historically we've struggled at. So I'm going to join you with a 1-1 as well, Pete, to be honest with you. Hopefully we're both wrong. Hopefully Everton go away and get a comfortable 3-0 win, but that's not Everton, is it? So let's see what happens. But all eyes on that. Obviously, international break over this week. The hearing kicks off as well for this week. So the likelihood is we'll hear about that, the outcome of the hearing. The rumours are, I think it's around this. It's got to be by the 8th of April, I think. So it all ties in nicely for them to let us know after we play Burnley at home, by the way, and a couple of weeks before we've got a home match again. So it ties in nicely for the Premier League. That's obviously the key thought there. But you know, big week coming up for the club yet again. Ownership situation still up in the air. Talk of that potentially being rectified. Talk of what the stipulations are, talk of another consortium waiting in the wings to come in. Who knows? Another soap opera that is Everton's season 2023-24. But that's us for today. We'll be back next weekend to look back on that Bournemouth game. And then look ahead. You know, we've got a busy time, haven't we? You know, even before we get back to Goodison Park, we've got to travel to St. James's Park, of course, which is never an easy place to go. But we'll be going there the midweek and then looking ahead then to our next home game, which is against Burnley the following weekend. So a lot to talk through on next weekend's show. Hopefully we're discussing an Everton win and we will catch you then.
The Unholy Trinity Podcast. 3 Blues, 3 Opinions, 1 Everton Podcast.
Sports Social Podcast Network.